This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top pieces of football, NFL Lunch style, here on this Featured Artist Friday. David Bowie, chosen by you, the people. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Legal tampering starts on Monday. The new league year starts next Wednesday. So we got plenty going on in the NFL because the season never ends. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reporting that Myles Garrett, who wants out of Cleveland, is preparing to miss games if he is not traded. Jimmy Haslam refused to meet with Myles Garrett to try to pacify that trade request. We know Myles Garrett is arguably the best pass rusher, maybe defensive player in the National Football League. Nolan, the Browns suck with him. What's the benefit in keeping a disgruntled guy around, a guy that has already written a goodbye letter to the city of Cleveland? He's never playing for them again. What is Jimmy Haslam trying to accomplish?
I don't know. Just holding on to hope, I guess. But I would think even the most diehard Browns fan, as much as it would hurt to see a guy like that leave, I think they would have to be rational enough to say, look, we're not winning anything with him. Might as well get some draft compensation. Might as well recoup some of the capital. All that capital that we gave up for Deshaun Watson, by the way. I mean, we've got a bunch of issues here. And look, if he doesn't go to an AFC team, what do you care? You know, goes to an NFC team, you can root for him. It's not like, unless you match up against him, it's the only time you don't have to root for him. But, you know, it sucks. It sucks seeing a good player go and leave. I mean, Giants fans with Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
But unless Myles Garrett's going to join the Steelers or the Ravens, what's the deal?
Yep, you're bad with him. Your quarterback situation is terrible. They reworked Watson's deal again, but he had a setback with the Achilles recovery, so he's probably not playing anytime soon. Nick Chubb's coming off another injury. They have no weapons throwing the football to, even with a good quarterback, so why not just pacify his request? You're behind Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincy in your division. I don't get it, but Jimmy Haslam, who's made a lot of bad decisions during his tenure as the owner of that team, looks like he's about to make another bad decision. The Commanders released Jonathan Allen today, defensive tackle. After eight seasons, they were looking for a trade partner, two-time Pro Bowler. Instead, they put him out there on the open market. Now, everything always circles back, Nolan, to the Ravens. I don't see a need for Jonathan Allen, right? Because you've got Madubuike, you've got Travis Jones, who you're going to have to pay. You've already paid Broderick Washington. Brent Urban's probably on the way out. What are you getting out of Michael Pierce? Is Jonathan Allen someone that should intrigue the Ravens front office? Forget about fans. Should the Ravens look at this potential acquisition.
I'll steal a Vinny-ism and say right player, right price.
Right.
Is that, but, you know, I mean, look, anytime you see an interior lineman that's putting up sack numbers like that, he's a couple years removed from what looks like his peak, his Pro Bowl years. But, yeah, I mean, you're always intrigued when you get that interior pass rush presence. I mean, Matabike is kind of that guy right now, but we saw last year, you know, he got a lot of double teams. So, yeah, I mean, another presence in there. Does that free Matabike up? Does that make life easier for everyone? Sure. Is Allen that right name? Remains to be seen.
Now, wide receiver, and we've talked about the Ravens, Zay Flowers, Bateman. So you're good at 1 and 2. There's going to have to be an acquisition there at 3, depending on how Tez Walker's development goes. Chris Godwin, maybe the highest rated free agent out there. Boston Sports Journal saying the Patriots are suspected to be the driver for Chris Godwin in free agency, coming off an injury plague. Well, he got hurt against the Ravens. He got horse collar by Roquan Smith, and he's always been kind of a strong Robin to the Mike Evans Batman, but right player, right price. Sounds like this guy might be a little too rich for Baltimore's blood right here.
Yeah, and here's the thing with the wide receivers. Those are going to be all the guys going next week. Those are going to be the ones that are getting coming out on Monday, the legal tampering period. We've agreed to a contract in principle, all that stuff. It's going to be all the big-name receivers, the flashy big names that the fans latch onto. It's the same thing every year. And Ravens fans have been begging for it. I mean, once upon a time, I could understand it because the Ravens didn't have actual true number one wide receiver talent. Now you could argue they have the best duo maybe they've ever had in terms of talent. Plus, you've still got, for now, two capable receiving tight ends in Andrews and Likely. So I would think if you want an upgrade over Nelson Agholor, that's fine. But let's be honest, it's probably not going to be a big name. And if you want a big name, you're going to have to sign him early, and you're going to have to overpay him.
So we're not dancing the DK Metcalf dance or anything like
that. Well, that would have to be a trade for him.
But I mean, would you be willing to maybe get involved in that sort of? Because, you know, Lamar threw 41 touchdowns, spread it out nicely. Thank you very much. That's not only a mouth to feed, one that, you know, had been disgruntled at times in Seattle with his workload, sharing with Lockett, and now, you know, Smith and Jigba out there.
I would think Tyler Lockett would be a more attractive guy, assign him in free agency. But again, it would not surprise me, even after a couple down years by his standards, you know, sub 1,000 yards, that he gets a very lucrative deal next week just because he's a recognizable name.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Before we get back to Todd Monken, quarterback is not an area of concern for the Ravens. Maybe backup quarterback is something that will be addressed, and I think we all agree should be addressed, but it appears as though Minnesota's all in on keeping Sam Darnold around, even though they did not franchise tag him. I mean, keep in mind, J.J. McCarthy's coming back from knee injury that cost him the entirety of the season that opened the door, and Darnold did have a nice rapport with Addison and Justin Jefferson and K.J. Osborne and all of that good stuff, but I mean, is he that attractive to the Raiders, for instance? Does he go to the Giants and all of that good stuff? I mean, if you're the Vikings, and you're a Vikings fan, would you want Darnold back on kind of a shorter-term deal? Like a show me again, and then maybe if you duplicate, then we start shopping J.J. McCarthy a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to him and saying show me, because I think that would probably turn him off.
Right.
I mean, he's like, Lord, I gave you more than you probably could have expected out of me last year. And, you know, not to knock the guy, but what he had done previously in his career, let's be honest, for him to get them to the playoffs, and I know he was abysmal in the final week of the season and the playoffs against the Rams, but they had no business being in contention for the top overall seed in the NFC. That alone, he's proved it. So is he worth what the franchise tag would have been? What, over $40 million? Probably not. Would it be smart to bring him back? I'm not against that either, but I think they might have Daniel Jones also in the back of their mind. Signed with the practice squad with them last year. They'd have to re-up with him, but he could be a cheaper guy that maybe is the next Sam Darnold.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. All right, real quick, Todd Monken was on the Lounge podcast talking about Lamar Jackson and his pre-snap responsibilities as they head into year 3 together.
It was always in him. It's just, I think, it's a two-way street. Like, how much are we doing that allows that? And how much of that have we repped enough where it hits his brain to get to it? Because you do have a certain amount of plays that are good versus all, where you're up at the line of scrimmage and we're going to run this no matter what we get. So it's not as if there might be a route change, but there's not as many of those as someone would think, to where you just, I'm just going up there and I'm going to change it.
It's funny, the narrative used to be from some that, you don't want to put too much on his plate. Maybe he can't handle all that responsibility, reading defenses, route tree, et cetera, et cetera. All of this stuff that were used as criticism against him, they're no longer real. We talked about it earlier. And now it's just, hey, win the Super Bowl and everybody will leave you alone. I mean, no small task, let's be honest. But does he look like a guy that's overwhelmed with responsibility? And it's just, it's almost becoming stupid to have these conversations.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Monken's right there too. I mean, it's not like Peyton Manning where you just say, you practically call it yourself when you go up to the line. I mean, with Peyton Manning, I feel like the play calls were a light suggestion and he would just do whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
You know, but you can obviously tell where Lamar has his fingerprints on this offense the past 2 years under Monken. It's night and day compared to what was going on with the previous regime with Greg Roman. I mean, I don't even think they even tried to give him those responsibilities. It wasn't even a consideration. So the results kind of speak for themselves.
We'll come back. We're going to hear from Adam Jones. Guy that had his fingerprints all over this Orioles renaissance earlier in the 2010s, 2012. Orioles broke a long streak of postseasonless baseball, and he had a lot to do with it. Now part of the Orioles Hall of Fame and front office. And then Bob Nightingale, USA Today. We'll talk about spring training coming down to the final couple of weeks. What is he like so far? Who's his sleeper team? And what's or injuries with Baltimore and the Yankees? What does this do for the Red Sox and Blue Jays here in the American League?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Are we sleeping on Tampa playing at the Yankee spring training home as a home venue? Not that they drew flies, by the way, at the Trop, but it did bring a uniqueness to it. Now they're literally playing in a minor league stadium. How does that affect them? Because that's more of a pitcher's paradise. The Trop, now they might give up 7,000 home runs this year.
Right. Like the dimensions are identical to Yankee Stadium. So there's your blueprint right there. Yeah. And short porch and right. I think that changes quite a bit for everyone in the AL East.
Yeah, the kid Lowell from Maryland might have a monster year going deep. But the AL East, with the injury issues cropping up in the top two teams, at least expected to be, how does this change things? And where do the Diamondbacks fit in the NL West with the Dodgers and the Padres already there? Or the Giants afterthoughts? And let's be honest, the Rockies, they're like the Siberia of baseball. Can you think of anything more dreadful? And I've never been to Denver, and apparently the stadium's beautiful, and they have some good young talent coming up through the ranks. But did anything be more brutal than being like a Rockies fan?
I can't think of anything. I mean, where's the direction, too? I mean, you had Arenado, you had Blackman, LeMahieu at one point. I mean, there was some exciting players.
They developed a Tulowitzki. I mean, they had guys that come up through the ranks for years. But, I mean, if you want to pitch for a living, pitching there is probably not an ideal situation.
No, and if you're a fan, I mean, Bud Black's been your manager since 2017.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It might be time for him to start pitching to help this team. But anyway, we'll talk to Bob about all of that good stuff. But Adam Jones, newest member of the Orioles Hall of Fame, along with Joe Orsolak, our buddy, colleague emeritus. Joe Orsolak, when Baltimore Baseball Tonight first started back in 2011, it was me, Jen Royal, Jim Duquette, Joe Orsolak. And then Joe was a colleague for four seasons, and now he's going in the Orioles Hall of Fame. And we wish him I texted him yesterday. He said, thanks. Try to get him on. He's got some personal stuff he's dealing with. But we will talk to Joe Orsolak at some point. And then Tom Davis got in, who's been covering the Orioles since the glory days of the late 60s, early 70s. And so he's in the Orioles Hall of Fame, and rightfully so. But here's Adam Jones, now works for the Orioles in the front office with Mike Elias. He was asked about being a member of the Orioles Hall of Fame.
Pretty humbling, pretty cool. Obviously, still letting it process, but I mean, that's pretty badass to be into a professional organization's Hall of Fame, one that has such prestige as the Orioles does. And obviously, down here with, you have T-Bone here, you got Cal here, Bumber here, some guys who are very formidable in the Orioles organization around here. Markakis is here. So it's really cool to be able to share this moment with those guys. Obviously, Markakis going in last year, my longtime teammate. So it's pretty cool to share this special moment with them.
Yep, Adam Jones acquired in one of the great trades. It was an Andy McPhail trade. Great trades in Orioles history when they got him, along with Chris Tillman and George Sherrill from the Seattle Mariners for the always fun and exciting Eric Bedard. And Sherrill was an all-star for the Orioles. Let's not forget that. They stunk, but he went to the all-star game in Yankee Stadium. Tillman was kind of their ace for a couple of years till shoulder problems. And in his career, and Adam Jones, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I love Al Bumbery. He was a great player. I'm friends with him, not to brag. Paul Blair, I became friendly with, my all-time favorite Oriole. Adam Jones is the best center fielder in the history of the Orioles, and getting some recognition, and rightfully so.
Right. Well deserved. And yeah, great to have him back in the organization. That trade, man, every time you look at it, it's just, oh, what a fleecing. If it was just Adam Jones coming back in return, it would have been a fleecing.
Yep.
But to throw Tillman in there, like you said, not a true ace, but for the Orioles' purposes, in that era, the 2010s, where they were competitive, he was the guy. And if you look year over year over year, you know, I guess from 2012 to 16 was kind of when the things fell off the skids for him.
He got hurt at the end of, like, August of 16. He sprained his ankle. Maybe that started the delivery tweakage, Tillman, we're talking about, in the shoulder kind of. Tillman was like Kramer. He could bring it mid-90s. Not an overpowering 100-plus fastball with movement all over. But Tillman was a very good pitcher, but he went from throwing 95, 96 to like 87. His velo drop was very, very significant. And let's not forget in 2012, too. He went 9-3 for them and was a big part of that rotation in the second half. And I don't even think he was on the playoff roster because they had others ahead of him. But Chris Tillman was outstanding in the second half of 2012. But that trade, yeah, one of the great trades in the history of the Orioles, for sure.
It took a little while to reveal itself. I seem to remember as a kid maybe going to a game in 09 or 10 and got there and, oh, Chris Tillman's pitching today. And I said to my dad, I'm like, oh, man, we got to watch Chris Tillman pitch. A couple years later, he's the guy.
It's like, yeah, Chris Tillman's pitching in the playoffs. But here's Adam Jones again talking about the Orioles. Winning product when he got there and just kind of like picking it up phase two after a few down years.
Well, you got a generation, you know, like the generation that watched my teams, they grew up with not so much winning in there as their childhood. And then they get some winning as an adult in there. Now the cool thing is they get to share it with their young kids. They got a great group here last few years, obviously being in the playoffs. But you see the fan base has got a lot younger. You see a lot more kids at the ballpark. So you see that you know, the community is standing behind the players, and that's what you want.
Yeah, you were a youngster, Nolan, back in 2012 through 16. Now you're a grizzled veteran watching this next wave of Orioles success. And we could speak to, you know, being at Pickles when we're down there for the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show or going to the games themselves. Yeah, the crowd has gotten a lot younger for sure, and that's a good thing to see.
Oh, no doubt about it, but like I was saying earlier, I mean, with this drought since the last World Series, this isn't just my generation. This is multiple generations that have been left in the dark here and haven't got to see this. A World Series, I don't even know if I could put it into words. The exuberance that would come out of this city, the celebration that would ensue.
It would be huge. I think it would be bigger than the Ravens making a Super Bowl run.
I agree.
I truly believe that. For people from here. You know, Baltimoreans who live and die with the hometown teams, you're born into it. I think the Orioles winning a World Series, getting to a World Series, would be huge. It would be epic. And, hey, let's not get selfish, but what about both? Like we just talked about Maryland. I mean, make a deep run and kind of set us up for a great Orioles summer. Then take you into the fall for the Ravens, expected to be one of the favorites.
There's no rule against it. I'll tell you that.
Hell no. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. We'll come back, talk baseball with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. And then a funhouse trip. Enough teasing. We're getting to it here on The Fan. Bob Haney, let's welcome in on the Window Nation guest hotline from USA Today's our friend Bob Nightingale. Bob, how you feeling?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, Bob.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the Western Division of the National League. And we know the Dodgers, defending world champions, spent $1 billion. Padres have been close 2 of the last 3 years. Diamondbacks were actually in the World Series 2 years ago, and they looked to be better on paper than they were even then. They had Corbin Burns, as we all know, here in the Charm City. What's the upside this year for Torey Lovello and that Arizona ball club in a very tough NL West?
Yeah, they were a very dangerous team last year. I thought for a while they might have been the most dangerous team. They just kind of collapsed at the end, you know, missed the playoffs with that tiebreaker. But they won 89 games and missed out. But that's a scary rotation. You know, when people talk about the Dodgers being the best team, yeah, they are for 162. But in short series, if you have, you know, Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez coming at you, yeah, they can be very, very dangerous. So, yeah, they're not going to win the division. Yeah, I wouldn't think so, at least. It should be the Dodgers, but come postseason time, I don't think anybody wants to play those guys.
What separates Arizona from San Diego, then, Bob, chasing L.A.?
Yeah, I mean, San Diego was certainly better last year, for sure. I think just better pitching. You know, they don't have, you know, but the San Diego, you still got Yu Darvish and Michael King, Dylan Cease, and on, but they don't have the same pitching as the Diamondbacks do. And I think also, it's just, they seem a lot more thin. I don't think they can survive an injury to say a Tatis or Machado or something like that.
Now, in the National League Central, Milwaukee defending champs and won it with relative ease. And, you know, they've had some injury problems. They do get Yelich back, but, you know, Woodruff, what's he bringing? They traded Williams to the Yankees here. Are the Brewers still 10 games better, Bob Nightingale, than the rest of that division? Who's closing the gap? And what's Terry Francona's impact going to be with the Reds out there as well?
Well, they lose a... You lose Willie Adames, you know, big-time shortstop, and Devin Williams, too. Picked up Quintana. But they've had some injuries in spring training already to their starting rotation. I don't know how they won the division last year by 10 games. I don't see that happening. It's pretty wide open. On paper, it should be the Cubs division to lose. They should be the favorites. And I think the team people are sleeping on is Cincinnati Reds. I think with Francona there, I think it's going to make a big difference.
Now, the NL East, that's top-heavy. You have Atlanta and Philly and certainly, you know, the Mets and everything that's going on with that one. The Nats look to be on the rise, maybe not to that level just yet. So how would you handicap the NL East, where with Steve Cohen in the Mets land, is World Series or bust? Is that a realistic goal for them at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Phillies on paper are still the best team in the division. And I go Atlanta right behind them. I got the Mets third. I know they got Soto, but remember when Soto was in San Diego, they missed the playoffs. San Diego's a lot better team without Soto. So, you know, it's not like he's a massive difference maker, just one guy. I'm not so set on the on their pitching. And I still worry about Atlanta's pitching, losing Max Fried, losing Charlie Morton, that sort of thing. Philly's pretty loaded, at least come until playoff time. Seems like, you know, when it happens is they cruise the regular season and then the offense gets shut down in the postseason because they just seem too easy to pitch to.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, joining us here on The Fan. Bob Haney with you on this Featured Artist Friday. Get to the American League, and in particular, the American League East. The Orioles, they got some things cropping up. Kittredge, doesn't look like he's going to be pitching anytime soon. Grayson Rodriguez had the tricep. Velo dropped 6 miles per hour his last start. Gunner's dealing with a side. Westberg just came back from a back. Then you have the Yankees. I didn't know there were enough elbows for Stanton to hurt. Luis Gil's going to miss 3 months. So right now, if you look at the walking wounded for both Baltimore and New York, who's facing the bigger challenges? We're less than 3 weeks away from first pitch.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Bob, they all have flaws. Baltimore, I was surprised they didn't go get their pitcher. I mean, they tried to get Burns. I think Toronto and Baltimore are the highest offers for him. He definitely would have got more money from Baltimore than he got from Arizona. They wanted to stay home. I still think they should have got somebody else, and I think it's going to hurt them. Luis Gil's injury is going to hurt the Yankees big time. We'll see. And then Boston on paper looks good, but still they have a lot of young starting pitching. You know, what's the chance of them, you know, stepping up and doing the same thing as a year ago? So I don't think you're going to have to win 95 games to win the division. I think it's going to be a dogfight with those three teams. And, you know, Tampa, they always seem to be in the mix.
Where do the Blue Jays fit in? Maybe the most disappointing team in the division in 2024.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've been underachieving for years now. This big year, last year with the, with Guerrero, last year with Bichette. I think they have to make the playoffs or we're going to see some firings going on, either on the field, front office, golf, that, you know, that sort of thing.
All right, we'll get to the AL Central then. What, three playoff teams last year? The Twins weren't one of them. Injuries have kind of slowed down their building momentum. How would you handicap, outside of the White Sox, of course, the American League Central again on the eve of the season?
Yeah, I think Cleveland drops off. You know, they trade people away. They don't have, you know, Naylor now, but just, they don't seem to be the same team as a year ago. You know, the Twins collapsed down the stretch, epic collapse. So they should be better. And Detroit, the way they finished, so I got to think, you know, Detroit's got to be the favorites just the way they finished the month of September. You know, and now you got, you know, two of the top pitchers, certainly Tarek Skubal, the Cy Young winner, and also having Jack Flaherty back. So they can be very, very good.
All right, let's close it out. AL West, we know the A's are kind of the vagabond team, or the Athletics, until they get to Las Vegas. Better than, hey, they had the same record the Orioles did, I think, in the second half of last season. But who's your favorite, at least today, Bob Nightingale, to win the American League's Western Division?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I still think it might be Houston, but the Christian Walker injury kind of worries you. Oblique injury. Let's see how long he's out. Seattle got the great, great pitching. I mean, they really messed up last year, not taking advantage of it. And we'll see. I mean, Angels aren't going to do anything. So I think it's kind of wide open between, you know, the three teams. So we'll see. I'm going to go with Texas. I think Texas, you know, bounce back. Bruce Bochy, they win every other year.
Right.
So I think Texas, and they look very good this spring. And Jacob DeGrom has looked outstanding.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of spring training, and we'll talk to you hopefully before opening day.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Here's Bob Nightingale, everybody. It's Vinny and Henny. Vinny's off. Bob Henny, Nolan McGraw will come back. I've been teasing. Enough teasing. Funhouse next. Maryland, remember, lost at the buzzer back in mid-January, but trying to redeem themselves against a wounded animal in a Northwestern Wildcat. So Maryland coming off that big road win at Michigan, trying to solidify their standings in the Big Ten. And then, of course, look ahead to March Madness. Getting to the tournament, they're a lock after missing last year and going quietly against, who was it? Wisconsin just blew them out of the Big Ten tournament last year. So got something to play for, that's for sure. 10.5-point spread. We're not talking about this from a gambling perspective, but I'm relatively confident that Maryland, with the emotions flowing, 3 o'clock, will handle their business against Northwest.
Right, just no slow starts, because that was the big concern there against Michigan. I mean, sure, the defense was great, but, you know, 10 points in 10 minutes. I mean, that's brutal.
Well, remember the start of the second half? Michigan was like, here, mm-hmm. You want the ball? Just take it.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give you the ball. Maryland should have won that game by 15.
Yeah, because what was it, 3 in a row? And then I think we talked about it yesterday, and I said, you know, I think the Terps just knew in the back of their head that, all right, we're going to keep getting turnovers here, and we're just going to press it and try to jack up threes here. I mean, they could have driven to the rim, taken more safe shots.
Sure.
But for the most part.
We're nitpicking, but, you know, if you get the same opportunities created by your defense against Northwestern, turn them into points. And Maryland usually has been one of the best teams in the league at doing so. Now, if we'll talk, enough. I was going to say, Gunnar doesn't start the year, we're not moving Jackson to Holiday to shortstop, right? That's not happening.
That's not even an option.
You're the second baseman.
Right.
Get to know it, get to love it, get good at it, because it increases your value, because Gutter's the shortstop for many, many years to come. All right, I've been teasing, enough talking, enough of me. Let's get out to some of you, the Funhouse.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First texter here says, I think Brandon Hyde will play the matchups even more this season. They'll go platoon at multiple positions. Right field and first base stand out right away. Plus a rotating cast of DH hitters. That's redundant, DH hitters. Fans better get used to the constant changes.
Well, there's going to be, what, two pretty solids? Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. Moo Man's probably going to get his fair share of at-bats. O'Neill scratched yesterday. Ramon Laureano looks like he's going to have a good shot of making the team right-handed stick. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, as long as the platoons are working to your advantage. And eventually, Jorge Mateo fits into the mix as well.
Some injury concerns here. This texter says, Grayson Rodriguez is a ticking time bomb, not in a good way.
Yeah.
I can only hope that these injuries continue to be minor and nagging bumps and bruises for him. I'll take that over Tommy John, of course, but this guy isn't the ace that the O's need him to be. He can be good, but won't be great at this pace.
And I don't even know if they're nagging injuries. He misses significant time, not year plus, to the texter's point. Elbow reconstruction or what's that? Rotator cuff this. But he misses like a month, 2 months, was shut down for the end of last season. And something tells me that this lat in his throwing arm, and I know, and you mentioned it yesterday or a couple of days ago, Nolan, slow playing the fastball. He was throwing 89 because that's as hard as he could throw it. And that's not a good thing. And something tells me we won't see Grayson throw a baseball against an opposing hitter in a while. And I hope I'm wrong. Usually am.
And you look at what? Luis Gil with New York. The big concern there is, okay, it's not just the downtime where he's not out there. But once he is healthy enough to come back, there's a ramp-up process. It's not just as simple as, hey, go take the mound. You're starting tonight. I mean, it could be an extended spring, depending on how long he's out.
I saw the report, was it yesterday? He's out for 3 months at least. Clark Schmidt had the same thing. He missed 5 months for them. So injuries, as we just talked about with Bob Nightingale, doing a number on the Birds and the old Yankees here. And what? It's not even March 8th yet. The hell?
One last one on the Terps says, the only worry I have for the Terps is they seem to let teams hang around at times, even when they build up a large lead like they did it. At the half the other night. Good news is their defense can get them through their own offensive slumps at times.
Yeah, the Ohio State game comes to mind. They had that game won three different times and let them get back into it. Yeah, the offense, they go in these 4 or 5 minute scoring droughts, tends to doom them. They had some issues, in my opinion, shooting foul shots the other night against Michigan when they could have extended things. But as Walt Williams says, and that's why he's the wizard, defense travels. Defense doesn't just show up for the home floor. It goes to neutral sites and on the road. And as long as that travels with Kevin Willard, I think everything will take care of itself. Sweet 16 or bust. It's been 9 years since Maryland's been to the Sweet 16. Enough of this nonsense. I'm done. Inside Access coming up next. We're back on Monday. For Nolan McGraw, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday morning. For now, have a great weekend, everybody. Class dismissed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.